and that you realize this is not just me. This is not anything that I could have achieved, but this is simply the presence of God. Amen. A presence of God, the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit that not only overwhelms us, overshadows us, but flows out of us. I love it that it's inside out and outside in. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God that's inside out, outside in. You know, sometimes if you feel empty inside, it's nice to just connect to somebody that can just pour into you. Amen. But it's also nice to be that fountain that can pour into somebody else. Hallelujah. And so every now and then when I'm feeling thirsty or when I'm feeling dry or when I'm feeling empty, I need to find me a splash zone. You know what the splash zone is, right? Yeah, you just kind of got to get it somewhere close enough where it just kind of splashes over on you. And before you know it, God just saturates you with his presence and his anointing and his power. And I'm just so thankful that he works from inside out and the outside in. Amen. And so I love that song because every now and then you just need to lean back on him. You just need to lean back on the chest of Jesus and just breathe for a moment. Because you feel his arms around you when you sing that song. John had something that he knew that John, remember John the Beloved, laid his head on the chest of Jesus. And I believe there's something that John had a connection with Jesus, and he was the one at the foot of the cross that he said, John, take care of my mom. I mean, John had literally laid his head on the breast of Jesus and heard his heartbeat. He'd heard the rhythm of his heartbeat. That's pretty close. That's pretty intimate. That's pretty connected. Amen. And so sometimes when all of the world has all kinds of noise and everything else seems loud and chaotic and crazy around you, I mean, sometimes you just need to put your ear to his heartbeat. The servant in the scripture that talks about that if he was to be a servant, and he did not want to go out, the love slave. And if he was bought as a servant, and at the end of his time when he could go free, if he did not want to go free, that he could come to the doorpost and he could have a whole board in his ear, and that would symbolize that I love my wife, I love my master, I love where I'm at, I do not want to go free, and that hole in his ear would symbolize that I'm where I want to be. I mean, when John came along and he laid his ear on the doorpost, Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. I want my ear so pinned to Jesus, who is my door, that I can hear his heartbeat, that I can hear the blood flow, that I can understand that connection and that intimacy, that no matter what else I hear in my ear on this side is always laid towards the chest of Jesus, and it's always hearing that steady rhythm of his heart. I mean, his heart beats for you this morning. The sound of his heart beating for you is powerful. Amen. Well, I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for Brother Jim Murray, who covered for me while we were in Tennessee for the women's conference down there. We had a great time and had some awesome services, and so we're so thankful for that. And also for Brother Jim Malcolm, who covered last Sunday so that we could get some transition things done in the sale of our house and things like that. And so it's been awesome just having some time of refreshing and from hearing from those voices. And I'm so thankful that we have so many voices in this house that can speak, that it's not just my voice. And so I'm thankful for that. And I love to come and hear and to be refreshed as well. And so Before Easter and before we went out on the break and some of that stuff was going on, we were doing a series and we were talking about the seven sayings from the cross. And we talked about there are seven different times that Jesus speaks from the cross. And I believe those things are very powerful, pivotal things. I believe when Jesus speaks, we need to listen. Amen. and not just listen, but I believe there's something he is directing us toward. I don't believe Jesus ever really spoke to the multitude or in the presence of people that he didn't have a purpose for what he said. How many know Jesus didn't just speak idle words? He was getting us somewhere. He was leading us somewhere. He was speaking some things to us. And so there were some powerful things that he spoke from the cross. And today I want to talk about the saying from the cross, which is number 6. The saying from the cross, it is finished. I mean, the scripture says that when Jesus spoke with a loud voice, it is finished. There were some things that happened. Let's go to our first scripture this morning, John chapter 19. And it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Somebody say, all things. All things were now accomplished. That the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And we talked about that one. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Message Bible says it this way. Jesus, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might also be complete, then said, I'm thirsty. A jug of sour wine was standing by. Someone put a sponge soaked with the wine on a javelin and lifted it to his mouth. After he took the wine, Jesus saith, it's done. Or it's finished, complete. Bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. Then the Jews, since it was the day of Sabbath preparation, and so the bodies wouldn't stay on the crosses over the Sabbath, it was a high holy day that year, petitioned Pilate that their legs be broken to speed death and the bodies taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man crucified with Jesus and then the other. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers stabbed him in the side with his spear. Blood and water gushed out. The eyewitness to these things has presented an accurate report. He saw it himself and is telling the truth so that you also will believe. These things that happened confirm the scripture. Not a bone of his body was broken. And the other scripture that reads, they will stare at the one they pierced. The scripture said after they had given him a drink, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, it is finished. Amplified or Message Bible said, it is done, it is complete. How many know there were some things that Jesus completed on the cross? There were some things that he finished on the cross. And I don't believe that Jesus is talking about just his death or the actual crucifixion is finished. How many know there were some things that we live in now, today, that is a finished work because of what Jesus finished on the cross? Hallelujah. And it keeps saying that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, the scriptures that are fulfilled, how many know all of the things that Jesus spoke on the cross, all the things that happened to him, all the things that came to pass had been foretold in the scriptures. They'll look on him whom they have pierced. And, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. How many know all of these things took place in the person of Jesus? And the scripture tells us that he came to fulfill some things, that he came to accomplish some things. He came to finish some things that have been started. So I don't believe that Jesus is just talking about his death is finished. He's talking about what he finished in the law. What he finished, what was completed, what was accomplished. The word finished is the word telestai, which it comes from a word, which means to bring to an end, to accomplish, to complete. Means I did exactly what I set out to do. How many are glad that Jesus did exactly what he set out to do? He said to them, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. He told his disciples, he said, I'm going to smite the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. There's some things that's going to take place. There's some things that's going to happen. So before these things take place and before they happen, I want you to know this is what's going to come to pass. I mean, no, remember that he's saying to the disciples and he's telling them, you know, that I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful man and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter wants to pull him to the side and said, not so, Lord. Why are you talking all this crazy talk? Why are you saying this stuff? And Jesus responds back to Peter, what? You remember? Get behind me, Satan. Now, it's in the same context of the scripture where Jesus says to Peter, Peter, whom do men say that I am? And he said, well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're the prophet. Some say all kinds of things. You know, that's a dangerous question, isn't it? Who do men say that I am? Because I don't know, we always want to know the answer to that question. Because probably really Peter wanted to say, Lord, they're saying all kinds of crazy things about you. They think you're a blasphemer. They think that you are John the Baptist. They think that all kinds of things about you. But who do men say that I am? And so he's just saying that, but he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? I mean, no, it's one thing to know somebody, what somebody else says about Jesus, but who is he to you? If I was to ask you the question, who do you say that he is today? What would our response be to that? Well, we just sang and he's our peace. The scripture says he is our peace who has broken down the middle wall of partition, making of twain one new man. How many know he has joined Jew and Gentile? He's the mediator of a covenant. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Who do you say that I am? He's the indwelling Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. What is our response and what is our definition of Jesus? The girls were talking on the way to church this morning, and Carolina said, some people don't like to go to church, Nana. I said, you think so? And she said, yeah. I said, well, I wonder why, because I said, I really like to go to church. She said, yeah, me too. I said, maybe we should just tell them about Jesus and tell him how good he is, and maybe they'll want to come. And maybe when they get there, they'll like him too. What do you think? She said, yeah, I think so. I mean, sometimes we just need to tell somebody about this Jesus. Amen. We've made so many rules and regulations, but amen. Confirmation of that same word. We have, you know, the scripture said that his visage is marred more than any man. And that was a scripture that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And we know through the crucifixion that the visage and the vision and the very image of Jesus was marred. But I fear that the what has really marred the face of Jesus has not been so much the act of his crucifixion, but our words who have described him as anything other than the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have made him an angry God. We have made him a judgmental God. We have made him a God that's full of rules and regulations. And we've made church sometimes be that way, when really it's just a relationship and coming to know a Savior. That very experience that we were talking about earlier, where you just lay your head back on the chest of Jesus and whatever You remember that feeling of being able to crawl up into your parents, maybe your mama's lap, your daddy's lap, your grandma's lap, somebody in your life who loved you where you could just crawl up on their lap and feel their arms around you and for that moment just feel secure and feel like everything's going to be okay. Do you know that moment? That's the Jesus that I want to preach. That Jesus where wherever you are in your life, whether you're in a ditch, whether you are in hell for the moment, or wherever it is you might be in your life, that you can have that experience that all I got to do is call on the name of Jesus. And his presence is there. His life is there. It's rich. It's alive. And so, you know, I said to her, let's just tell people about Jesus and how good he is, and maybe they'll want to come. Maybe they'll want to come and experience this Jesus, that indwelling power, that indwelling presence in our lives. Hallelujah. Let me know, under the old covenant, they did not have that experience. They did not have that encounter. They had a tabernacle that had a outer court, and then it had an inner court where only the high priest could go in. And the high priest would go in where the table showbread was and where the altar of incense was, and they would offer up the bread and they would offer up the incense and they would offer up the animal sacrifices and hope that God would receive their incense and receive their prayers. And then the most holy place was reserved only for the most high priest, and they would go in once a year and they would sprinkle that mercy seat with the blood of a spotless lamb, and the atonement of their sins would be covered, but they could never be removed. But how many know we have a lamb of sacrifice who was sacrificed for us on Calvary, that no longer does a priest have to wait once a year and go in and sprinkle a mercy seat for me, but I have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. I have a touchable, tangible high priest and indwelling presence of God 24/7. Amen. A tangible presence of God 24/7. We used to sing the song, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. You remember that? Call him up, tell him what you want. Well, now if I said Main Line before our kids went down to Sunday school, they would all say, what? Right? Right? Because none of us, how many of you still have a landline in your house, a main line? We do. We have to have one, but we still have a landline, right? A main line. But, you know, we tell the story that we had some kids break down in front of our house one time. They run out of gas, or their car broke down or something. They came in and wanted to use our telephone. Well, we on our telephone in our kitchen, we still had our old rotary dial phone. You remember the rotary dial phones? Yeah, like a few of you do. How many of you remember party lines? Oh, yeah. We had our first phone line, rotary dial phone, with my mother-in-law. And I lived through it. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. And a neighbor who didn't have anything else to do but talk on the telephone. So any of you remember how frustrating it was to go to the phone, pick it up? There's already somebody on there because you were on a party line. It was not my version of party, let me tell you. It was not a party when you needed to on the phone and Miss Neighbor Jessie would be on there for 45 minutes, right? It was a party line. So you shared it. But then we got our own line, and I had a main line, and I could call him. But, you know, we sing that like we got to call Jesus up. Hey, we had great times with that song, right? Call him up, tell him what you want. But hasn't that been our mentality? Just call up Jesus, tell him what you want. But I'm so thankful that now I have a cell phone with a signal that's not even connected to a landline. I don't have to share it with a party. It's voice activated. I told you that my grandson has one of those things in his house called Alexa. Anybody know what Alexa is? The voice activated, and you can talk to Alexa, and Alexa will search out things on Google for you. And he'll say, Alexa, because he doesn't say his L's. Alexa. Find Spider-Man Fweem, because he can't say theme either. And so he likes to dance to the original Spider-Man theme. So he has this voice activated, Alexa, and he'll tell it, find Spider-Man Fweem. I kid all the time because my phone, I can talk to text, you know, and it saves me a lot of time. Only my phone does not understand or translate hillbilly. So I got to slow it down and I got to talk better because it doesn't translate hillbilly for me, right? So we have this concept sometimes that call him up, tell him what you want. Like Jesus is over there waiting on a phone call from here, right? A signal. But I'm so thankful that at the moment that I speak his name, at the moment, Sister Jenny, that I say the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I got to tell you, there's times when I didn't know what else to say that I just did. We call it the Jesus chant. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because there's times, RC, that we don't know what else to say but the name of Jesus. But I know when I call on the name of Jesus, he hears me. He knows my need even before I cry out. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows my thoughts, as crazy as they are sometimes. Thank God he knows me and he loves me anyway. See, I look at the motley crew that Jesus hung out with. Come on, none of they spent 3.5 years in Bible study, and at the crucifixion, they didn't have it all together. But there would be a day on the day of Pentecost in an upper room when the power of the Holy Spirit would come into their lives and 12 men would set the world on fire. Don't tell me one person can't change something. Don't tell me a group about this size can't change the world. 12 men and 120 people in an upper room, not just men, but how many know the mother of Jesus was in that room? They went out of that room, and the first revival service that they preached, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and said, "Men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is a deposit of that was prophesied on the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just the Jew, not just the seed of Abraham, but all flesh, Jew, Gentile alike. Because we're not born of the seed of Abraham, which is one naturally, but we are born of the seed of Abraham, which is one spiritually. We are all one body, all one group, all chosen by the precious blood of Jesus, bought and paid in full. Anybody in here been bought and paid in full? Hallelujah. The contract was signed and ratified. The check is in hand. It's a done deal. And we need to understand that it's a done deal. Finished means, that word telestai means finished. It means to bring to an end, to accomplish, to complete. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. It is in the perfect tense in Greek. That's significant because it speaks of an action which has been completed in the past with results continuing into the present and also into the future, paid in full. When he said it is finished, it was past, present, and future. How many know we are living in the future of the cross? Yeah. We are looking back to the experience of the cross. The disciples were looking to the experience of the cross. We're looking back from something that's already happened, something that's already been accomplished, something that's already been done. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 says, I like to call Jesus the finisher. It is finished. He's the finisher. You know, you talk about the movies that call it the finisher or the closer. You know, it's like the one who has the final say in what happens. And at the last minute, they come through and it's a done deal. But it says, wherefore, seeing in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 is coming out of Hebrews 11, right? And Hebrews 11 is the great hall of faith. It starts from the beginning and it goes all the way through the great heroes of faith who subdued kingdoms, who wrought righteousness, who stopped the mouths of lions, who were sawn asunder with a sword. And it lists all the great heroes of faith. But then it goes on to Hebrews chapter 12 and says, seeing we are so compassed about with such a great a cloud of these witnesses. I mean, no, the scripture says we are compassed about with the great patriarchs and matriarchs of old. And seeing that all of these have accomplished so much, yet they without us cannot be made complete. How many know they came as far as they could go? Moses came as far as he could go, but he did not take the children of Israel into the promised land. Right? Joshua takes the children of Israel into the promised land because the mediator of an old covenant did not have the means of taking that people into a promised land by virtue of the law or the old covenant. But there came a Joshua generation that would walk in and see it. How many know Jesus is our heavenly Joshua? And so seeing we are compassed with so great a crowd of witnesses, it says we run with patience the race that is set before us, understanding that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. How many know if you are the author of a story, if Erin writes the story, if she decides to write a story, how many know she gets to decide how it ends? How many know the ending sometimes is the best part of the story? Now, my sister Terry's not up here. She loves to read. She loves to read books, always has been a reader, but she cheats. Since she's not here, I can tell you that. She cheats. She goes back to the end of the story, and she reads the end, and then she goes back and reads the middle. I said, you know that's against the law, right? You can't do that. You have to read it in order and get to the end, and the end is the grand finale, right? If you read the end, you ruin it. She does it. She did. Yeah, it's blasphemy. And then if you read the end of the story, don't tell. And if you go watch the movie, don't spoil it, you know? Spoiler alert. She'll read the end of the story, and then she knows what happens because she can't wait to figure it out, right? How many are thankful that we've been able to read the end of the book, the end of the story, and I know how it ends. Now, I've read the Bible from to fro and from beginning to end, and he's the author and he's the finisher. I can tell you that. And I don't always understand everything that's going in between. But when I get myself a really good book, sometimes I can go back and read it again because there's some things in there I miss. But I'm always thankful when I get to the end of the story in Revelation 21 and I find out that we win, that he is the winner, that the book of Revelations is not a scary, gory book about futuristic things and dragons that are coming, but it's a book about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the work and the person of what Jesus did on the cross, full of icons. If you love clues and icons, you need to read the book of Revelation because there's pictures. And they'll say, and I saw a brazen laver, and I saw a candlestick, and I saw all of those things. Where did they see them? They saw them in the tabernacle of Moses. But Moses could only take us so far. But when Jesus cried out on the cross and said, it is finished, he became the author and the finisher of my story. He became the author and the finisher of your story. Hallelujah. And he gets to decide how that all ends. The author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And the scripture says even in there, so let us run with patience the race that is set before us. since they have come and brought us this far, all the matriarchs and patriarchs of old, let us grab a hold of the baton at this point, looking back to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith, because I know what was accomplished at Calvary, because I know what was accomplished on the cross. I can grab the baton over my shoulder and keep running a race that's set before me. Hallelujah. How many of Jesus has ordered all of our steps? The steps of the righteous are ordered. And so he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. In other words, focusing. Letting our eyes gaze upon. Let our focus be on Jesus. Brother Bill and I were talking this morning and he was telling me about having his cataract surgery. And he said, you know, I would come in and sit back here, and he said, everything but from about the fifth pew, is that okay if I share that, Bill? Everything from about the fifth pew up here was blurry. It was distorted. It was fuzzy. And he said, I didn't realize how bad it had gotten because cataracts are such a gradual process. But he said, all of a sudden, they did my cataract surgery, and the blinders were taken off of my eyes, and all of a sudden, I could sit back there on that table, and I could see what was happening up here on this cross. The cross was now visible from back there. How many know sometimes our eyes become distorted? Our eyes become clouded with things, but we need Jesus to take that scalpel and remove the spiritual cataracts from our eyes sometimes so that our focus is not distorted, it's not blurred. It's not limited. All of a sudden, Bill, I can look and see the cross. And when I see the cross, I see what was finished there. I see what was accomplished there. I see what was done through Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. How many know there are some things Jesus took care of at the cross? Your salvation was taken care of at the cross. Your healing. He says, by his stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. How many know the covenant, the new covenant was sealed at the cross? Hebrews tells us that through Jesus. In Hebrews, if you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1 says he's better than angels. Hebrews 2 says he's a better sacrifice. Hebrews 3 says he's a better mediator. Hebrews 4 says he's a better Sabbath. Hebrews 5 through 8 says he's a better priesthood. Hebrews 9 through 10 says he's a better covenant. Hebrews 11 and on says we have a better faith. How many know it's better, better, better? It's better, better, better. And so I believe because we know that Jesus is better than the law. He's better than the old covenant. He said, I didn't come to do away with it. I come to fulfill it. I come to complete it. In other words, I come to sign the document. So that when the document, when I took out a mortgage and an agreement with my bank, I was in debt to them. Yeah. But I agreed to cover my part of the deal there. But once that bill was paid in full, how many know there was nothing they could go back and charge me anything because I had already paid the deed and already paid the bill in full. I had the signed document in my hand to prove that I had what I had. How many know they can't send me a house payment on that if that has been paid in full? How many know you cannot go back and be charged on an account that's already been paid in full? How many know when the enemy wants to come and torment your mind or come to bring despair or come to bring discouragement, we need to realize that was taken care of at the cross. That was already paid for. You need to stop right there. I mean, when the enemy of your mind wants to come back and bring your past against you, you need to say stop right there. When sickness wants to come over your body, you need to just say stop right there. When despair or you get overwhelmed, you know, we just need to speak to ourselves and say just stop right there. Wait a minute, that's been paid for. Wait a minute, Jesus took care of that at the cross. Wait a minute. Jesus was beaten, he was bruised, he bled for me, he was crucified, he was died, buried, and resurrection. I now have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It dwells in me. Stop right there. How many know sometimes it's a matter of our mind standing up and saying, stop right there. I am not going to be overwhelmed. I am not going to let my mind be tormented by thoughts that's covered by the blood. Amen? Hallelujah. And let me just say this to you, and if you can't do that for yourself, find somebody to hold your hand and say, wait a minute, we're going to stop those thoughts right there. We're going to stop that right there. Hallelujah. RC, in Jesus' name, I just believe healing over that calf and over your body. What God has already begun, we stand with you today in believing. Lift your hands toward him for manifestation of his power, his healing that was paid for at the cross. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Hallelujah. The power and manifestation of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Dave, when you walked in this morning, I felt to pray for you. God, I just release healing and strength in his body. Lord, for rest, for peace of mind. Lord, that you just rejuvenate him, that you bring his energy levels up, and God, that you touch his heart and mind in every way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Alice, in Jesus' name, I agree with you. For those things that concern you, that when they come to you, we're just saying to them, stop right there. That was taken care of at the cross. And I just stand with you and believe in Jesus' name for healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Layla's ears, in Jesus' name, paid for. Author, finisher, done deal. We believe it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Aaron, in Jesus' name, we're standing together, believing, declaring. It's done in Jesus' name. Manifestation of his glory and presence. Hallelujah. Mana today in Jesus' name. Amy, mom, if you know somebody, just say the name in Jesus' name. We just say to sickness, just stop right there in Jesus' name. Oppression, despair, poverty, disease, whatever it is, stop right there. Addiction, stop right there. We're cashing in on what you've already paid for, what you've authored, and what you have finished in Jesus' name. We stand as a mighty army. We stand as a strong tower. We stand as a group joined together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you've got to get a hold of somebody else's hand and say, I need to get in your splash zone. I need to get some strength. I need to be reminded of what the word says. I need to be reminded that's been paid for. And if it's been paid for, I'll just say every now and then, Lord, I'm just cashing in on what you already paid for. I'm making a withdrawal on what you've already deposited. I'm tapping into what you've already set in motion. It's mine. It's you declared it. You paid for it. You set it up, Lord. I cash in and I believe it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if that's for you, reach up and say, that's mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Scripture says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. How many know when he finished it at the cross, he completed everything that the law demanded. It did not make Jesus lawless. It means he paid for everything that the blood and that the law ever required. Hallelujah. Taken care of. And then Matthew 5, 13 through 17, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Finish. Stamp, paid in full. Amen? Stamp that it's been paid in full. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I love the picture that Jesus gives us before he ever goes to the cross. The scripture says it on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus goes up to the mountain, he takes his disciples with him. He stands on the Mount of Transfiguration, and who shall appear but Moses and Elijah? Moses, the giver of the law. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And there they stand together, I believe in a picture of a mercy seat. Jesus in between the law and the prophets, and he said, I come to make of twain one new man. How many know he brought the law and the prophets together in the person of Jesus Christ and paid everything that the law or the prophets ever required? How many know Elijah was a called down fire from heaven kind of prophet, but Elisha was a double portion? How many know Jesus is our double portion prophet? He became prophet, priest, and king. Hallelujah. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, then Peter pops up and says, I got a great idea. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses. Let's build one for Elijah. Let's build one for Jesus. And the heavens interrupted him and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Because what I'm about to do is reach out with both of my hands on the cross of Calvary and bring in the prophet and bring in the law and make of twain one new man. So bringing peace that we talked about this morning. Hallelujah. And that scripture there, he begins to say, you're the salt, you're the light, you're a city set on hill. So it's not just that we cashing in on what he's finished, but how many know now I'm operating out of that finished work? Because he said, not only am I light, not only am I salt, not only am I city, but you're light. You're salt. You're a city. As Care Bear said this morning, not everybody likes church, Nana. I said, well, baby, maybe we just need to tell them about our Jesus. And then when they come, they just might fall in love with it just like we do. Because we become salt and light and a city that's set on a hill. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's tempting to be other people's saviors. When we were never intended to be their Savior, there's only one Savior. I can point you to the Savior. I can't save you. But my mission is to show you the light to the one who can. My mission is to make you thirsty for the one who can satisfy. My mission is to be a city set on a hill that says, I know where I can go to get help. I know where I can find somebody that even if they don't have the answers, we can join together in prayer to the one who does have the answers and know that's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for his presence. Hebrews 8, 6 through 13, and I'll close with this one. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. This is your covenant, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. How many know they're not written on tablets of stone anymore? I'll write them in their hearts. How many know the stone, the law that's written in our hearts, Jesus came along and said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not going to write it on stones anymore. I'm going to write it in your heart. Because if you allow those two things to govern your life, I guarantee you the law of God will reside and bring life in you. I'll write them laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody say, good forgetter. I don't have a bad memory. I got a good forgetter. His iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I mean, Jesus brought an end. He finished animal sacrifice. He ended temple system, the brazen labor, the, you know, coming in, the offering, the sacrifices, the once year atonement, where they only where you had a high priest that had to intercede for you, and only once a year could he go in and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Let me tell you, I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, that at the very moment I need him, or I feel like I have failed, or I feel like I can weak, I can go to him. Yeah. And say to him, Father, forgive me, help me, strengthen me, give me peace, comfort, whatever it is. And at the moment that I do that, Jesus is near. I don't have to wait for the priest to get the sacrifice ready. How many are thankful this morning you didn't have to grab your lamb and bring it in? Or you didn't have to get a goat. You didn't have to bring any turtle doves or two young pigeons. Or you didn't have to bring it in. I'm really glad. I'm especially glad. Some of you probably had been offering an awful lot of sacrifice. I'm kidding about that. I didn't have to bring anything today but me. Just my heart. That's all I had to bring today, because the blood was already poured out. My sins were already covered. And the precious blood of Jesus is here and available to all. Stay with me this morning. If you've not experienced that reckless, overwhelming love of God in your life this morning, I invite you to come. I invite you to step out of your seat, come forward, and say, Pastor Lisa, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I just open my heart to him. He comes and takes up his abode in you. He dwells in you. He lives in you. And he changes you from the inside out. Inside out. Best decision you'll ever make. It doesn't come with addendums. It doesn't come with a list of do's and don'ts. It just comes with the governor who lives inside of you. The greatest GPS system you'll ever find lives inside of you. His grace, his mercy. Amen. As best things this morning, if you want to receive salvation, come on forward. We'd be glad to pray with you, work with you, love on you. Hallelujah. But I just invite you to lift your hands to him this morning. Just let his peace and his overwhelming power come upon you in your life, the flow out of you in Jesus' name. Everything else we say to it, just stop right there. Jesus already paid for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.